Well, the good thing is I don't have to compete with that. If it was a competition, I'd just go home right now. But get to continue. That's, I think, that was the message. That was good. And so the good thing is I'm just going to say less than normal. I'm just going to say a few words and add to that a little. So I've been thinking a bit about traditions, holiday traditions. And there's so many different traditions. And the cool thing about traditions is a lot of them are really fun. Another cool thing is they bring people together. And there's something about holiday traditions that just bring us with our families and loved ones and strangers even. They bring us together. And yet traditions originally had the intent so we could remember. And so we start these traditions to remember something so that it will never be forgotten. And so the tradition of Christmas actually began about 300 years after Christ. They decided to begin the tradition of remembering when Christ was born. And so Christmas has been continuing on for hundreds of years since then. And it was interesting, like John was kind of saying, most likely Jesus was not born in the winter. That would not be an appropriate time for a census. But it was very appropriate. And they realized in this time, next week is going to be the longest night of the year and the shortest day, the winter solstice. And so to remember in the darkest time of the year, when light came into the world, and to remember in the midst of darkness, just how God sent himself, he sent his son, light into this world. And so that's why the tradition has been in December, as well as kind of took the place of another holiday, and there's a lot of pieces to that. And then not long after that, they started a tradition of giving gifts, which is kind of probably the biggest tradition now, I think, as we look around. That began as a way to remember the gifts that were given to Jesus by the Magi as they came and brought him gifts afterwards, and also to remember St. Nicholas and his acts of kindness to the poor. And also just to remember the gift that Jesus is to us. And then maybe 1,000 years ago, Christmas trees came about. And Christmas trees, the evergreen tree is a symbol of everlasting life because it stays green. It doesn't lose its leaves. And to remember how through Jesus we have eternal life, that we are eternal beings. The end of this life is just a phase. It is not the complete end. And then the lights on the tree again to symbolize the light of Christ. And so if we look in the first chapter of John, he talks about Jesus coming into the world. He says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." And so Jesus, in the Trinity of God, as the Son of God, was with God and is God in the very beginning, even at the time of creation. And yet, even though the world was made through him when he came, the world did not recognize him. And he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So he came into this world. And so I want to just kind of just do a little demonstration, I guess. One of the goals is to not burn myself today, but nor anybody else. Would you pass out those candles? So the world in the darkest time, in the time of just our own kind of brokenness and need. And so God came down into this world. And he sent his light. And God's light came into our world. And God came and became one of us. And he dwelt among us and lived among us and shared in our sorrows and joys, shared in the pain of life, shared in the temptations and challenges. And Jesus came and he healed and he taught and he walked among us. And he was a beacon of hope and love, and he brought his and brought grace for all people. And yet, as John says, he was not received by all. And the darkness and the sin of men and the part that turns away from God, that turns from the light, even in the midst of the goodness and the healing, started to hate and just started to desire to choke out the light. And so, at the hands of men, Jesus was killed and died a death on the cross and allowed the darkness, even though the light overcomes the darkness, allowed the darkness to choke out his life. But the grave could not hold him. He was buried for 3 days, and even in the grave, in the midst of death, he came back to life by the power of God. He was resurrected, and then he ascended into heaven, and his light still shines today. I need to put this out, sorry. Who's ever coffee that was, I'm sorry. I had a cup somewhere. I had a cup of water somewhere. That death that he died, I think John did a great job of explaining that. He took that darkness, he took our sin, he took our humanity and our hatred and the part of us that turns from God and wants to be completely rebellious and have things our own way, that part that hangs on to the brokenness. And he took our payment, he took our punishment upon himself and allowed himself to die. And in that, we have been given a gift. We have been given light. And his light still shines out in this world today. And Jesus is still at work in this world. Even though he's not here in bodily form, Jesus is present. Jesus is available. Jesus' life is still here for each one of us. And I find myself thinking, when Jesus walked here on earth, there was people who did crazy things just to find him, just to get to touch him. And there was a woman who had been suffering for many years. And as Jesus is going through this crowd, she fights her way through the crowd just to get, just to touch his robe, knowing if I can just get a taste, just a touch of Jesus, if I can just even touch his robe, I know he has the power to heal me. And she fights through the crowd and touches him. He turns around and says, "Who touched me?" In the middle of a whole crowd. Because he felt that power had gone out from him. There was another man, he was really short. And Jesus was coming through. And he climbed up into a tree just so he could see above people and actually get a glimpse of Jesus. I don't know when the last time you saw an adult climbing up in a tree was. But it's not something that just happens on a regular basis. And Jesus, walking through, stops under the tree and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to stay at your house tonight. I want to come into your home. I want to be with you." There was another time when Jesus was teaching, and the room was so packed that people couldn't get in. And there were some people who had a friend laying that couldn't walk. And they said, "We got to get this guy to Jesus." So they went up on the roof and they dug a hole in the roof. I don't know if they got like pickaxes. I don't even know how they did it. And they chip a hole through the roof and lower this guy on a mat down in front of Jesus. It's like, if we can just get to Jesus, I know that he's got the power to help this guy. And Jesus sees him and helps him. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Walk. There's another time there was a blind man, and he's sitting on the side of the road begging. And they tell him that he hears that Jesus is coming. And so he starts shouting, Jesus! Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me, Jesus! They're like, hey, be quiet, man. Cut it out, like, you're embarrassing us. And he's way over there anyways. And he won't shut up, Jesus, Jesus! And he comes by and he comes to him, what do you want me to do? What do you want from me? He says, I'd like to see. So he touches him and heals him, gives him sight, and the man follows him. And as John continues on, he says, yet to all who did receive him, because remember, he came into the world, but he was not received. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yet to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Just as a demonstration of this, I'm going to have you guys, maybe we'll start at the front, and just have you guys come and get a candle. And I'm going to move this one over here. But if you guys just come up and light a candle and set it on the table. But when you guys get candles, if the front would just come up first, front rows, and then just light your candle and then set it on the table next to the other candle. You got it.
Yeah. Getting the light lit.
Amen. Yeah. So, even in the traditions, as the light has been symbolic of so many things, you can see the symbolism here. I'm not sure what the symbolism of a straight line and the symbolism of a cluster means, but I thought that was cool. But Jesus is still available and present in this world. And even though Jesus no longer walks in a human body, Jesus' presence and spirit and power is available to all of us. And it's more than just kind of that feeling of Christmas, that memory of watching the Christmas story and It's a Wonderful Life and eating together. More than just those good feelings, but his actual being, he is still at work in this world. And this still holds true. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And as Jesus comes into our life, we become children of God. We carry Jesus in our lives, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the being of God. Dwells among us and in us. And then we are able to pass that on. We are able to share that with others and able to let somebody else experience Christ. And so the challenge that I find for the holiday seasons, the challenge for us is, will we really find Jesus in the midst of this? Will we be like those people who are like, I gotta get to Jesus, whatever it takes? Is there room in our lives in the midst of all the craziness and busyness and challenges and joys and good things for Jesus? And so I just want to encourage you to take the time to really remember what God has done. remember how he came into this world, how he gave himself for us, that those who believe might become children of God, that we might have eternal life, that we might live with him and know him. And I want to challenge you to take that time. Maybe it's the time to stop and read the Christmas story as a family. Or maybe the time to stop together and give thanks and ask Jesus into that time, into our celebrations. And even more, I just feel on our own, to take that hunger, take that drive and say, I want to find you, Jesus. I want you. I want you in my life. And whether that's ducking out of a time of family, or whether that's just you kneeling by your bed and just crying out and saying, I want you. I want to receive you. I want you in my life. I want you to make me your child. I want to know you and walk with you. I want to follow you. I want you in this challenging situation. I want you to come and heal this brokenness that I see in myself or in others, and to really have that drive to like meet Jesus. And it might just be a simple thing of just coming before him and just like, thank you for what you've done. Or it might be a desperate thing of, I need you. This is really, really broken. I am really, really broken. Or this is not how it should be. I need you. Bring your light into this circumstance, into my life, into this place. And to receive his light. Receive that. Receive his presence into our situation, into our world, into our lives. And so, as we remember, there's a lot of fantastic Christmas traditions. And one of them is having kids come up and sing. And that is just a great tradition. I imagine all of you have some wonderful holiday traditions that you enjoy. And I hope you enjoy those with people that you love. And I hope that in the midst of that, that God gives you some of himself, gives you his presence, and that you find Jesus in the midst of it and appreciate where you're at. It might not be something new. It might just be, you've been in my life, and I take the time to remember, take the time to appreciate that you came into the darkness. You came into the world. And let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your light. Thank you for coming. Thank you, God, for coming into our dark world. Thank you for coming into the midst of pain and death and allowing yourself to be subjected to our world and our brokenness. Thank you for being born. Thank you for living and teaching. Thank you for the death that you died to pay a price that I owed. Thank you for coming back to life to show us that there's more than just this life. God, I ask that each one of us would connect with you. I ask that you would give each one of us a hunger, a drive to seek you, and to not just be satisfied with the things of this world, to enjoy the things of this world, to enjoy the company and the good things, but to find you. God, I hunger for more of you, and I ask that each one of us would find you and walk with you and enjoy you, taste that you are good, and share that with others. God, I ask that you would put people in our lives that we can share with, that you would give us generous hearts, that your light would shine out through us, that we would not be stingy, but that we would love as you loved. And I thank you for the kids. Thank you for just the joy that they are. Thank you for this time to remember and sing and celebrate and eat and enjoy lights and music and parties. And we just remember you in the midst of it. In Jesus' name.